as we reflect upon God's word this morning. We learn that God can rebuke a prophet by the mouth of a donkey. God rebukes Balaam because he wants to teach him. And so we learn that God sometimes, only sometimes, speaks to us through a donkey. And sometimes a donkey can speak better than a prophet can. And when a donkey speaks better than a prophet, we better listen to the donkey. Now, it is hard to imagine that when we have a conversation with a donkey, we'll take him seriously. I think we may be so shocked that the donkey is speaking that we will hardly hear what he is saying. But we learn from Balaam that sometimes we're so agitated that with the donkey, that we don't even realize we're arguing with a donkey. That's the astonishing thing, isn't it? And what's the donkey doing? He's rebuking the prophet. He's exposing his heart that has become careless to the Lord. And so he is preparing him so that when his eyes are open, he see the Lord and is humble enough to hear. Now you see, this is the question to us this morning. Are our hearts humble enough to hear what Jesus is trying to say to us through this donkey this morning? You see, that's the question, isn't it? Is our hearts ready to receive the message that this donkey teaches? He is confronting us with, are we humble enough to embrace this donkey riding Messiah as God's King, and therefore as God's man to rule over us? Now, before we listen to the donkey, we have to see that Jesus wants us to see the donkey and to hear the donkey. Now, Luke tells us that Jesus is deliberately moving now to the final destination from chapter 9, verse 51, where Luke says Jesus set his eyes, he fixed his sight on Jerusalem. So from that moment, Jesus is traveling towards this moment. Luke spends the most time of all the Gospels on that journey to this final moment. And now it has come. And we notice that it is at this moment, as he approaches Jerusalem, he is about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles from Jerusalem at this moment. He has just told them the parable of the 10 miners, kind of Luke version, or maybe a similar but a different story of what we know about the parable of the talents. But it was specifically because they thought God is going to establish his kingdom now. And Jesus says, no, the king must go away and then come back. And so after he said these things, he races ahead of his disciples. And now he comes to Bethpage and Bethany, these two little villages on the Mount of Olives, or Olivet, as Luke points out. And there he sends two of his disciples on a mission. And notice, Jesus is deliberately controlling everything about this mission of theirs. He tells them where to go. Go into the village in front of you. He tells them what they're going to find the moment they get there. Where on entering, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. And then Jesus tells them exactly what to do. Untie it and bring it here. And then he anticipates that someone may object. And so he gives them the words that assert his authority over this donkey. You shall say, the Lord has need of it. And everything happened exactly as they were told. Jesus is the one who seeks out this donkey. He is deliberate in it. Now, the commentators are divided. Did Jesus arrange this ahead of time? Or is this part of his revelation of the fact that he knows all things? It doesn't really matter. Because either way, it points to the fact that Jesus is in absolute control. He sets in motion everything that is to follow. Here, at the beginning of the last week of his earthly life, Jesus shows that he controls everything that is to come. Now, what happens is it seems like the disciples take over. Did you notice how Luke said they came back and immediately they knew what to do? They threw their cloaks over the donkey and they set Jesus on the donkey. And then they ride, or they let him ride the donkey towards Jerusalem. Jesus, though, by setting it all in motion, is here showing us that he is the one who sought out this donkey to ride it. Now, why? That's the question, isn't it? Why did he do it this way? Now, it is here that the donkey can help us, because he was there. And so, I want us to hear what the donkey teaches us. And the first thing, and there are five things that the donkey says to us, is this: Jesus sought me and rode me to fulfill Scripture. You know, I didn't know it that day. Things were happening too fast, but I overheard a conversation not long afterwards between some Bible scholars. And you know, that's the nice thing about being a donkey. Nobody realizes you're there. So you hear all kinds of things when people talk. And so I heard these Bible teachers say, there are at least two Bible passages that Jesus fulfilled by seeking me and writing me. Now, I have to say the first one is a little obscure, maybe too difficult for a donkey to understand fully. But we know that Jesus knew all the scriptures that pointed to himself. Luke would say that later. That obscure passage is Genesis 49. You know, that's the time where Jacob blessed his sons, and it is in the blessing to Judah, who these Bible teachers were saying is somehow related to Jesus. But there, Jacob said, he will binding his foal to the vine, and his donkey colt to the choicest vine. He has washed his garments in wine and his vestures in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. Strange, isn't it? Now, I was tied up when they found me. Maybe that's the connection here. But it's a little obscure. But the next passage is not. And you'll get it, because if I get it, you can get it. And that is Zechariah 9. And this one makes me smile. Yes, we donkeys do smile. You can Google that. This is what Zechariah says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. You hear? He says, the king is coming. And he will come riding me, a donkey. And Jesus is deliberately seeking me out to fulfill this prophecy. Now, that leads to the second thing that I think you can learn from this, and that stands out to me. Jesus sought me and rode me because he was the long-awaited Messiah King. He was demonstrating that. And the crowds got it. Now, there's another prophecy from Zechariah 14, that says the Messiah will come and be on the Mount of Olives. So when Jesus comes on the donkey in that place, it's very clear that he is the Messiah King. The crowds got that. And that's why they sang, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, did you get what the crowds are doing? Luke, in quoting them, they are singing Psalm 118, and I know it because I could hear all those people going up to Jerusalem all these years, and they were singing these songs. They seemed to always sing Psalm 118 when they went by my pasture. And it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. But now they say, blessed is the king. You see, they are combining Zechariah with the psalm. They know that this man riding me is the Messiah king. Right here. And you see, that's the third thing that I want to teach you this morning. Jesus sought me and he rode me to confront you with a choice. Will you join the worship of this Messiah King? Or will you silence the voices that worship him? There were those, I could see it on their faces. They were really mad. If this man was really God's man, he would not allow them to sing these songs to him. No, he's just a man. And so they cry out, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Stop them. But you know what? Jesus is very clear, and I heard him. He must be worshipped. And he will be worshipped. If you don't do it, then creation will. The stones will sing his praises. The donkeys will sing his praises. Because creation knows its maker. So do you know this Messiah as your king? That's the question. Will you join those who sing his praises, exalting him? Or will you be with those who want nothing to do with him? That's the choice that this Messiah presses upon us by riding me. Now, that leads to the fourth thing that you need to know. Jesus sought me and rode me because he was deliberately showing you what kind of Messiah he is. You know, if you want to be important, you don't get on my back. If you want to show that you are somebody, you find a horse. You know, they're beautiful creatures. You can see them. They glide. They have a majestic stride. I just plod. I just trudge. I lumber along. So you don't get on my back if you want to be important. And so the fact that Jesus sought me of all the animals tells you that he is not an ordinary king. He is a humble king. Like Zechariah said, he will be humble, of course. Now, that tells you he's not very picky, you know. If he chooses me to ride, then I think you are welcome with him too. You see, anybody can come to him. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be important. He is truly the one who welcomes all to himself. I heard the crowds talking, and they said that he would invite people to himself all the time. He would say things like, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." And he would say, "All who come to me, I will never cast away." So have you come to him? Have you come to this donkey-riding Messiah? You see, it's not his fault when you stay away. You know, sometimes we talk ourselves out of coming to Jesus, don't we? I'm not good enough. I'm not important enough. My sins are too great. If Jesus rode me, I'll say it again, he's not picky. He will not turn you away. In actual fact, he welcomes sinners. Are you humble enough to come? That's the question. Now, Zechariah not only tells us that he is humble, he also says he is righteous, which means he has done all that God has asked. He is the king you and I need. Now, that is important for the last thing I want to teach you. Jesus sought me and he rode me because he is determined to die for your sins. He is determined. How do I know that? Because you see, when Jesus rode me, and all these crowds were crying out, from that moment, it was impossible to ignore Jesus. Now, what do I mean? I found out that the religious leaders were plotting to kill Jesus. They were waiting for him, but they wanted to do it secretly. They wanted to do it away from the crowds. They want to do it under the table, behind the scenes. Why? Because then they can wipe Jesus away as if he is unimportant. But Jesus deliberately sought me out and rode me so that they can no longer ignore him. After that day, the only way they could get rid of Jesus was publicly before the world. And you know what they had to do? They had to show that he is a blasphemer. They had to show that God is against him. How could they do that? They found a way, didn't they? They nailed him to a cross. And the Bible says all those who die on a cross is cursed of God. He who claimed to be God is now cursed of God. How can that be? You see, they put him on display publicly. But you know what? The fact that Jesus sought me and rode me shows me that he wanted this to happen. He made this come true. He knew. That's why he came. And now you begin to understand why it's so important that he was righteous. Because now it is very clear that he dies in your place. He doesn't deserve to die. But because he is here to humble himself, to become what you need him to be, he shows that he is willing to do that for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when Jesus died, it was your sin for which he died? You know, there was another crowd who were also loudly. And their cry was, "Crucify, crucify him." I could hear them. Which crowd will you join? Be careful what you say. Because you know what I've seen? It's only those who know that they say, "Crucify, crucify him," that understand later what he did for them. You see, it's only when you say, "I say crucify," that you can later say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King, my King." Because unless you see that it is your sins that drove him to the cross, that it is your voice that joins the mocking around the cross, you can never see him as the Savior. Do you know this Savior? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we